Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Donnie Ebenstein is an international expert in negotiation, communication, and conflict resolution. I'm going to invite you home, actually, for dinner. No, I'm joking. Beginning in 1996, he worked in the Middle East and co-founded the Jerusalem Mediation Institute. Donnie's work included training the Israeli Defense Forces on how to collaborate more effectively on joint patrols with their Palestinian counterparts, and joint workshops for Israeli and Palestinian border crossing staff on conflict resolution. He has worked with professionals of all levels of seniority, from recent college graduates to partners, directors, and the top levels of management. Donnie is a graduate of Harvard Law School and holds a BA in psychology from the University of Michigan. Donnie, thanks for being with us here on Edgewise. Why don't we just get started?
Okay.
Harvard Law School, all right, and here we are talking about your book, which is entitled I Hear You. It's published by AMICOM, which is a division of the American Management Association. Let's talk a little bit about this idea of communication, particularly in the world that we're in right now, where everybody's a little bit jaded, everybody's very critical, perhaps overly so. But this concept of communicating effectively and, you know, me being fearful about making mistakes, what do you find are the most common mistakes that people make when they're trying to improve their skills, their communication skills?
Well, with clients, I often have them asking me for the five best ways to start a conversation or the three ways to respond when a client gives
just
you
give
an objection.
Just give me the list. Yeah.
Give me the list. Give me the bullet points. And what I tell clients is there really is no five best ways or a three bullet list, because communication is extremely diverse. There's many different contexts, many different situations. There aren't magic words. What I can give people and what I think people should be focusing on is working with their thinking. And if you can shift your thinking, that will allow you to come up with the right things to say. And so I think the mistake is focusing on the what I would call external part of communication, the words that you say, or making sure you don't say words that will make it go badly. Rather than focusing on the external part, I encourage people to focus on the internal part, that is their own thinking during the conversation, because that's where it starts.
You use a term in the book, and we actually discussed it a little bit before you sat down in front of the microphone here, and that's this concept of flexing your mind. What do you mean by flexing your mind?
So that phrase is a metaphor. I'm using a yoga metaphor. If you think about a yoga class, you have people stretching their bodies in different ways, stretching their muscles beyond where they usually stretch them in day-to-day life. And it turns out that that kind of stretching can be extremely healthy and helpful for keeping your body in shape. So the metaphor here is to do a stretching of the mind. It's not physical, though. It's mental. And if you think of your mind as having a perspective or a point of view, stretching your mind means setting aside that perspective or that point of view temporarily and flexing or stretching into seeing a situation from a different point of view temporarily. But doing that can, in a similar way, be extremely healthy and very helpful in helping your situation move forward in a productive way.
Why do people resist that shift? Why do people resist taking on the alternate point of view?
Yeah, it's a terrific question. I believe people resist because it's threatening. Just think about it. So you have a point of view, you have a perspective, things you hold true. That could be on a macro level, it could be very on a micro level, and you have a conflict with someone, and you have a certain point of view. This is the way it should be. This is what's true. I'm right. When you flex your mind in this way, when you take on a different perspective, the perspective of that other person, the contrary perspective, what you're actually doing is saying, you know, maybe there is another way to look at this. That act of taking on another perspective includes inside it the possibility that that other perspective could be legitimate, or maybe even, God forbid, more legitimate than my own. In other words, it's
what?
Accepting. Right, I might not be 100% right, or maybe I'm flat out wrong. Yeah. And so it's scary. And so people resist doing it. When I say people, I'm including myself in this. Just because I wrote the book doesn't mean I don't fall prey to these exact same problems. We all do.
That's the subtitle of the book, right? I might be right, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
How can people get better at telling their own story?
That phrase, tell their story, what I'm talking about there is telling the story of the other side, of the other person you have a conflict with. So let's imagine, for example, I'm having a difficult time with my boss. And I want my boss to give me a promotion, and my boss is saying no. And so you ask me, okay, Donnie, so let's tell your boss's story. Why do you think your boss is saying no? What I'm likely to say is he's threatened by me, or he's cheap, doesn't want to pay me more, or he just doesn't like me. That's probably not my boss's actual story. It's probably not reducible to one simple sentence like he's a jerk or something like that. That's my story about his story. What I'm encouraging people to do is tell the other person's story the way they would themselves, with all of the nuance, with all of the complexity. So my boss's own story about why he doesn't want to give me a promotion probably has a lot more richness to it. For example, he has to judge my qualifications compared to everybody else's, and there's only so many promotions he can do in a year, and he'll have to advocate to promote me with other bosses who want to promote their candidates, and there's only so much money to go around, and I haven't been with the company that long, and this is a difficult process, and you often don't get promoted on your first try, and so on and so on. Now, I'm not saying that my boss is right. I'm not saying whether I do or don't deserve a promotion. What I'm saying is that typically when you say to someone, could you tell the other side story? They reduce it to something simplistic. It's a sort of a right, wrong, and they're wrong, and that's it. And they don't tell the other side story in a rich, nuanced way.
The visual for that, as you were giving me that answer, the visual for that in my mind was, it goes from this sort of stick figure drawing, you know, with the angry eyes, you know what I mean, and the person like shaking a stick, to, I mean, truly a richly rendered pastel or painting of, here's the nuances of where they're coming from.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And it isn't just a little unhappy stick figure guy with the angry eyes. Telling a richer story, filling in the blank spots.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
How can listeners use role-playing when preparing for an important conversation or negotiation? Now, I don't typically think, that's an interesting question, because I don't typically think of the listener in the role-playing mode. You know what I mean? For me, it's always been sort of the performer or the speaker or the presenter or whatever. What are your thoughts?
Well, you've come to a topic that is very close to my heart. And first, I really want to clarify what I mean by role-playing. Role-playing is not acting. Because in acting, actors have lines, they have a script, and they basically stick to the script. And if they're good actors, they make it sound very realistic. But it's all been pre-written, and they're following a script. Role-playing is different. In a role-play situation, each character is going to have a starting point. That's their role. That's their persona, with that persona's needs and fears and personality and so on. But then what happens is a conversation that's actually realistic, authentic, and spontaneously generated. So if I go to an example where, let's imagine I'm talking to my boss about getting a raise, and I want to get better at having that conversation. I want it to go well, and I ask you to help me by role-playing the conversation. So I might say, okay, I'm going to play myself. I want you to play my boss. And so what would happen then is I would describe to you my boss, what he's like, what his concerns probably are, and then we're going to role play. And you don't have a script and I don't have a script. I'm going to say the kinds of things I might say, and you're going to react to me in the moment. You're going to think, well, if I really was Donnie's boss, how would I respond to him saying, if you don't give me a raise, I'm going to quit? And then you'd respond live, and then I would respond to your response. And so what happens is a back and forth that's authentic and realistic and coming from the actual experience. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredibly powerful way to do lots of things. One is for me to get a sense of how someone might react. But there's another way to use role playing. Another way to use role playing is to switch. And I'd say, okay, why don't you play Donnie, and I, Donnie, will play my boss.
Right.
Right? And then you can say the things that Donnie said, and I can say, gee, what does that sound like to me if I'm the boss? That doesn't sound so good. And it's a very powerful way for me to hear what I probably sound like to other people.
As we wrap up here, obviously we want people to buy the book, go out and buy the book. But just this may be perhaps a quick tidbit. Can you share with us maybe a little technique right now that might be able to help people communicate more effectively just after they get done listening to this program?
Here's one technique that I think almost always can help and pretty much never hurts. Mm-hmm. So it's a safe thing to try out. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself in a conflict, in an argument, in a difficult situation, and you're not making progress, try summarizing back to the other person what they're saying. So if I have a conflict with a colleague at work and we're arguing about how to tackle a particular project or who should take the lead on a particular assignment, one thing that I can do is pause and say to my colleague, let's call him Joe, and say, Joe, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. It sounds like what you're saying to me is A, B, C, D, and say back to Joe what he's been saying to me. Summarize it back to him. Now, why is this so helpful? Well, first of all, it breaks that dynamic of being in an argument. That's already a good thing. It helps me make sure I really did understand what Joe's been saying, because frequently we are not doing a good job of listening because we're busy preparing our counterattack after they finish talking. But it also helps Joe understand that I'm really taking in what he's saying. It helps him feel heard. And when Joe, when my colleague, when my counterpart feels heard, a wonderful thing happens. They're much more likely to start hearing me. And once we start hearing each other, we are on the road to a much better conversation and hopefully getting unstuck in this conflict that so far has been completely stuck.
Awesome advice. We've been speaking to Donnie Ebenstein. He's author of a terrific new book entitled I Hear You, published by Amacom. Donnie, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
We have a special gift for our loyal Edgewise listeners, a free copy of an ebook entitled AMA Business Bootcamp. In it, we have assembled the most critical must-have skills for managers and leaders. To download your copy, simply visit our website, amanet.org/bootcamp. That's amanet.org/BOOTCAMP. This free download will now be available until December 31st, 2013, so get your copy now.
Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.